Okay, our learning should be for the Rafua Shlema of Shlomo ben Zelda. Sof Shachal Yisrael, Moshe Tzvi ben Esther, Rezal Shoshana Basi Vachana, and many others who need a Rafua. Okay, so let's start with Chaf Hei Beis. Parah Chaf Hei Pasuk Beis, Parshas Bahar. The Parsha begins with Shemitah. So let's start with a little Shemitah. It's the second Ramban on the Parsha. The first one's pretty long. It's on the words Shabbos LaHashem. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'Har Sinai Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai, and he told him, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleihem ki savo el ha'aretz asher ani noisin lachem. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, v'shov sa ha'aretz Shabbos LaHashem. Page. Kof Yod Ches. V'shav sa ha'aretz Shabbos LaHashem. Okay, Parshas Bahar, Perech Chaf Hei, Pasuk Beis. Shabbos LaHashem. The land shall rest a Shabbos LaHashem. A period of rest for Hashem. What does that mean? Why is Shemitah a Shabbos LaHashem? It's a Shabbos for the earth. It's a Shabbos for the land. In what way is it a Shabbos LaHashem? So Rashi comments, the Ramban quotes it, L'shem Hashem. L'shem Hashem. Do it L'shem Hashem. What does it mean, do it L'shem Hashem? K'shem shenemar b'Shabbos Bereishis. Says Rashi, just like it says by creation, we have a Shabbos, and that's a Shabbos LaHashem. So too, Shemitah is a Shabbos LaHashem. In what way is it a Shabbos? What does that mean? It's a Shabbos Hashem. Dedicated to Hashem. L'shem Hashem, says Rashi. L'shem Hashem. So let's just pause for a second. I'll tell you what the Kedushas Levi says. The Berditchever says, the Holy Kedushas Levi. You guys want to learn Kedushas Levi next year? Should that be our Chassidus Shasefer next year? I've done two cycles of it already in YO, but it's always good. It's like so... Kedushas Levi? Kisvei Arizal. Interesting. You gotta know Kedusha Slavery. I don't know, we'll think about it. Pasha. Rav Tzadok, we did Rav Tzadok 1 year. Yeah, we did selections from pre-Tzadok. Amazing. I'll do that again. I'm open to everything. Okay, so the Berditchever says, Shabbos LaHashem means... If you're a farmer, you know that if you work your field year in and year out, you're gonna drain the thing of nutrients. So there's actually very practical reasons to want to rotate your crops. That's what farmers do. They rotate their fields. They rotate what they're planting and where they're planting. Right? They rotate the fields, they rotate the crops to make sure that they don't deplete all the nutrients from a particular field with a particular crop. So there's actually very practical reasons to keep Shemitah. It's agriculturally sound to keep Shemitah. So it says the pasuk, don't do that. Shabbos LaHashem. Don't do it because it's good for your produce. Don't do it because it's a good business move. Do it because Shabbos LaHashem, because Hashem told you to do so. The same way that Shabbos Kodesh is also in a similar vein, in a similar line of thinking, you could say the same thing. Why do I have Shabbos? Shabbos. If Hashem didn't command me Shabbos, I would still like a day off every week, no? So don't do it for that. Do it for Hashem. Do it for Hashem. Okay, that's what the Berditchever writes about. And it's a theme, by the way, in Kedushas Levi. I can give you at least 6 or 7 places where he emphasizes that idea. Do the right thing for the right reason. Don't just do the right thing because, you know, the perks. There are perks to being a Shomer Torah and Mitzvos. There's mental health reasons for shutting off your phone for 25 hours once a week. Right? But don't do it for that reason. Do it LaHashem. Okay, the problem with Rashi is, and we'll see Rashi's really based on the Medrash, the problem with Rashi is, what's not LaHashem? According to this interpretation, Rashi says, Shabbos LaHashem, L'shem Hashem. Do it for God. Wear tefillin for God, keep kosher for God, learn Torah for God, sit in the sukkah for God. I'm saying, what's not LaHashem, if that's the pshat in LaHashem? Raboseinu lo kach niskavnu b'midrashim. That's not what Chazal had in mind with this Maimer Chazal, that Rashi's quoting. Rashi's not giving us the full picture. If you just read Rashi, you'll say, oh, Rashi's saying, do Shemitah for the right reason. Do everything for the right reason, says the Ramban. That's not what Chazal meant. Ki kol ha-shabbosos gam ha-mo'adim l'shem Hashem hem. Isn't every Shabbos, isn't every day of rest, isn't every moed, isn't every holiday la-Hashem? V'lo yomar be'echad mehem la-Hashem. And it doesn't say by Sukkot it should be la-Hashem. In fact, by Yom Kippur it says what? Aval amar yia lachem Shabbason. V'amar b'yom ha-kippurim Shabbas Shabbason hu lachem. It emphasizes lachem. It says it should be for you. Right? We don't find by Shavuos, we don't find by Rosh Hashanah, we don't find by Sukkot any emphasis that it should be for Hashem. And in certain places we find dafka, like it says here by Yom Kippur, it says that it should be lachem. There's an element for you. So what's unique about Shabbos and Shemitah? Shabbos every seventh day, Shemitah every 7 years. What is the Torah emphasizing Shabbos l'Hashem? So says Ramban, let's look at the Braisa more carefully. Let's look at the source of this comment of Rashi more carefully. Maybe we'll understand. Ulashon ha-Braisa b'Toras Kohanim. If we look at the Braisa, the Midrashic teaching in Toras Kohanim, that's the Medrash on Vayikra, the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, Shabbos l'Hashem, kishem shenemar b'Shabbos Bereishis, kach nemar b'Shvias Shabbos l'Hashem. Just like it says by creation, Shabbos, so to Shemitah, Shabbos. Okay, so now let's ask ourselves, so what does that mean? What is Shabbos? What is Shemitah? It's not just about, you know, do it for God. It's everything. Aval peiros Shabbos l'Hashem Elokecha, ha'amur b'Shabbos bereishis. What does it mean Shabbos should be for Hashem? What does it mean by Shemitah, Shabbos l'Hashem? What does it mean? Kivo shavas v'yinafash, v'al kein lo sase chol malacha. The same way that Hashem, not just that you should do it for God, the same way that God did it, you should do it. The same way that Hashem, shavas v'yinafash, the same way that Shabbos is a day when Hashem rested from malacha, v'al kein lo sase chol malacha, v'lakach amru ki kein nemar b'shmita, ki hi shvias v'shan. The same way every seventh day we commemorate the fact that Hashem rested in creating the world. So too, every 7 years, we do that on an even bigger level. We rest for a whole year. It's not just doing it for Hashem, we're doing it to be like Hashem. We're trying to align ourselves with Hashem. But however, we still don't really understand. So the Ramban says, since it was just Lag BaOmer and now you're all big Mekubalim, I'll tell you a secret. Ramban says, I'll tell you a big secret. The Ramban says, let me tell you a big secret of the secrets of the Torah. Want to hear a big secret? David, you like secrets? I'll tell you a big secret. Kvar ramaz lo Rabbi Avram. Ibn Ezra already hinted to it. Shekasav, v'tam Shabbos l'Hashem ki yom ha-Shabbos. The reason of Shabbos l'Hashem here by Shemitah is sort of an expanded version of Shabbos. Right? So 6 days Hashem created the world and rested. 6 years we work, and then in the seventh year we rest. And if we keep zooming out on that model, right, 1 day for a week, 1 year for 7 years, if we keep zooming out like that, says the Ibn Ezra, V'sod Yemos Olam Ramuz B'makom Hazeh. The secret of the Yemos Olam, the existence of the world, all the days of creation, how long will the world last? It's all hinted to here. The Ramban has a drasha called Torah Hashem Tumima. You have a collected volume of drushes of the Ramban. The Ramban says, even though everyone knows Ibn Ezra was a very, you know, stark rationalist of sorts, right? Or at least that's how his commentary reads. He seems to be very into Pshat. Ibn Ezra makes fun of Gematrias. He seems to not be Kabbalistically inclined. The Ramban writes in his drusha, Torah Hashem Tumima, he says, the Ibn Ezra, like, you know, like, accidentally revealed who he really was in this comment, you know? He says, I'll read you his line. He says, Ve'ein b'svarav davar mora al kabbalaso hatova yosu mizeh. There's nothing that reveals, that teaches the Kabbalah of Ibn Ezra more than this comment. He's saying something really deep here. There's a big secret here. What's the big secret here? Chaver, how long does the Gemara say the world is going to last? 6,000 years. And what happens from 6,000 to 7,000? We enter something called Yom Shekula Shabbos. The world is also going to get the Shabbos. The same way every week we get the Shabbos, every 7 years the earth physical world, right? The dirt beneath my feet has to experience Shabbos. Granted, it's still more limited. It's only in Eretz Yisrael because it's such a holy place. But a time is going to come when what? When we're kula Shabbos. So says the Ramban, listen carefully. We learned about the whispers of Rishon Bar Yochai. Ramban says, Koif oznecha lishmoa. He says, bend your ear to listen. Masha ani rashai la'ashmiacha mimenu b'lashon asher ashmiacha. Bend your ear to listen to what I have permission, rashai. I'm going to reveal what I have permission to reveal, which is obviously not the full story, but I'll give you a little bit, the Ramban says. Listen carefully, and I'll tell you what I'm able to say in my own words. V'im tizka tisbonen. And if you're zoicha, you'll think about it. If you're worthy, right? If Hashem wants you to go deeper, you'll go deeper. Okay? So hopefully we'll be zoicha. Says the Ramban, Kfar kasavti b'seder bereishis. I already told you a little bit about this way back in Bereishis. Ki sheishis yimei bereishis, heim yimos olam. The 6 days of creation correspond to the entirety of the world. Right? However, we know, we say in the Pasuk, that Hashem, for you, 1,000 years is a day. So 6 days of creation correspond to 6,000 years, right? When it manifests, your 6 days of creating are going to produce 6,000 years of this world. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to think about. Sure. The Vilna Gaon wrote extensively about that, right? More than that, we have to somehow match up, and you're going to say, it's close, but it doesn't work. It actually works extremely well. You understand how it works. Right? The 5 books of the Torah also match up with 5 millennia, which means that if we're in the year Tav Shin Pei Gimel, we're in the year 5783, so that means we're in Chumash Devar. More than the fact that we're in Chumash Devarim, each 100 years matches up with a different Parsha. So there's incredible things. I mean, you read about, you read about Hashem's Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, right? And you see how it matches up with the time period of the Holocaust, and you're like, whoa, okay, there's incredible things matching up. Right now we're getting to the end. We're in the Tzav Vayelech. And Tzav Vayelech is a lot of tshuva, right? A lot of Jews finding their way back. It's people going to the Ktzei Ha'aretz and Hashem pulling them back in. You see incredible Baal Tshuva movements. There's a lot to think about in terms of what's happening in the Parsha that corresponds to that 100-year period in world history. Very interesting things, but for sure, there's a lot of connections to be made. So the 6 days of creation correspond to the 6,000 years of reality, of the world. V'yom ha-shvi Shabbos la-Hashem Elokecha. But the 7th day, or the 7th year, or post from year 6,000 to 7,000, right? It's going to be Shabbos la-Hashem. Kivo yes Shabbos l'shem hagadol. Then it's going to be an eternal Shabbos, a Yom Shekula Shabbos, like we find, he says, in the Mishnah and Meseches Tamid, Kamo Shanino, like Chazal tell us. What do we say on Shabbos? What's the Shir Shal Yom for Shabbos? Bashvi ma hayu omrim, Mizmor Shir liyom haShabbos. What does that mean? The shir la'asid lavo shekulo Shabbos u'menucha l'chai olamim. On Shabbos, we're singing the song, looking forward to the time when what? When Shabbos is not just a weekly experience, where Shemitah is not just a once in 7 years experience, but we enter a state of being of yom shekulo Shabbos u'menucha l'chai olamim forever. V'hine hayomim remez asher bara b'masa bereishis. The days correspond to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did by creation. V'hashanim, and then the years, Yir Mezula Asher Yev Abriyas Kol Yimei Olam. So we have days that correspond to years, and years correspond to millennia. V'al Kain, says the Ramban, if you understand this kind of this secret, right, of 6 days becoming 6,000 years, becoming, right, Shabbos being a day, Shabbos being a year, Shabbos being forever, if you understand that secret, we understand why Shemitah is so serious in the Torah. Because Shemitah is a lot more than just about a farmer letting his land rest. Shemitah is moving from what? From a microcosm of Shabbos as a one day a week experience to a yearly experience, which helps us to push us towards what? Towards a forever experience. V'al kein hechmir ha-kasav v'shemitah yoser mikol chai ve'lavin. That's why the Torah treats Shemitah very, very seriously. V'chiev ha'golus aleha. And a failure to keep Shemitah can get you kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Why are there certain mitzvos that Hashem, for whatever reason, seems to take more seriously? The Ramban says, this is the secret of it. Kamo shehechmir ba'arayos. The same way that Arayos, when it comes to Gile Arayos, the Torah has very strong punishments. It can lead to exile. It can lead to Jewish people being unworthy of Eretz Yisrael, moving us in the wrong direction, away from Gula, more into Golis, farther away from Gula. Shenamar, because it says about the failure to keep Shemitah, you're going to go into Golis, and then Oz Tirtza Ha'aretz Es Shabsosa. Then the land will be appeased by its Shabbos. In other words, if you keep working the land when you're not supposed to, Hashem says, I'll throw you out, and the land will finally get the rest that it deserves. Because you'll be in exile, and Eretz Yisrael will be lying desolate. V'hechzir inyan pa'amim rabos, and the Torah comes back to it many times. Kol yamei hashama tishbos, v'ne'amar v'ha'aretz te'azev mehem, v'siretz es shabsoseh. Many psukim that indicate that the land is going to, so to speak, get revenge for failure to let it rest properly. You're going to move towards Galus, away from Geula. V'chein shanina we find in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. What causes Galus? Certain things. Galus v'al inoy hadin, v'al ivos hadin, v'al shmita sa'aretz. One of the things that Chazal explicitly said caused Galus, in addition to perverting justice and delaying justice, is what? Is shmita sa'aretz, failure to let the land rest. You know why? Look at the next line. Mipnei shekol hakofer ba, eino mode b'maisa bereishis u'olam haba. Because you're rejecting the ultimate past and the ultimate future. Our ultimate past is that there was a creator who made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. You're rejecting the future because you're rejecting the fact that beyond the 6,000 years of this world, there's a Yom Shekula Shabbos that's waiting for us. What's the bridge to get there? Shemitah. Shemitah, Yovel, right? Shemitah, Yovel, these are very, very deep things. These are very deep things. There's a lot of, not for now, but there's a lot of really deep Lag BaOmer Torah that's found in Parshas Bahar. Bahar is a big restoration. Things go back to where they're supposed to be. Right? What happens in Yovel? All the land goes back to its ancestral owners. It's like a big reset on the world. Right? Again, since we left Gan Eden, we got kicked out of Gan Eden, we're trying to find our way back. Parshas Bahar is a lot of deep secrets. Very often Bahar will be the Shabbos before Lag BaOmer. It leads us into Lag BaOmer. It's also the Shabbos after. And this year, the Shabbos after Lag BaOmer. So it's a very deep and a mysterious parsha. Okay? So don't be a kofar in Shemitah, because by being a kofar in Shemitah, you're kofar in Masa Bereishis, and you're really kofar in Olam Haba. And therefore Hashem takes it seriously. Again, this is the secret of Shemitah. The Ramban says, this much I'm allowed to reveal to you. I can't say too much, but that much, says the Ramban, I'm allowed to say. Okay? Alright, there's so much to say. Let's jump to Chav Vav Aleph. Very end of Parshas Bahar. Okay, allow me to be a little poetic for a minute. Okay, and those who are listening carefully will hear what I'm trying to say. This, by the way, has a lot. There's a ton. This is like a big Lag BaOmer secret, this pasuk, but not for now. Listen to the pasuk. Okay, ready for this? Chav Vav Aleph. Lo sa'asu lachem elilim. All of a sudden, we're back to Avodah Zarah again. Don't make for yourself idols. Upesal umatseva lo sakimu lachem. Don't set up a sculpture. Don't make a statue. Ve'even maskis lo sitnu ba'artzachem. Don't put down a stone floor for bowing upon. That much we think about. L'shtachavo salel. We think about that at least on Yom Kippur. Right? When we actually bow on the ground. And we think about, you know, what are the halachos? People put something down under their knees, under their head, whatever it is. Right? You're not allowed to prostrate yourself on a stone floor. We have a chumra, even if it's like a covered floor, we still cover it again. Okay. But what's going on here? End of the parsha, don't make idols, don't make statues, don't set up a matseva, don't bow down on a stone floor. Ki ani Hashem Elokechem. Why would I be bowing down on the stone floor? Why would I be making an idol? What's going on here? Who are we talking to? Let me tell you the pasuk right before that. The pasuk right before that talks about, the psukim right before that, right? talk about Yovel. It talks about selling a piece of land that belonged to a person, and then somehow it ends up in someone else's hands. Or what happens when a Jew sells himself into some degree of servitude, right? And he ends up working for someone other than Hashem. Listen to the pasuk right before this pasuk that says, don't get involved in Avodah Zarah. The pasuk right before, the last pasuk in Perek Chaf Hei, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Because b'nei Yisrael, like we learned, what's today? Today's Thursday. So when did we learn it? Monday? What do we do on Tuesday? A Tuesday? No. Monday we didn't know. Wait, what? Monday was the whispering shir? I'm confused. What did we do this week? Monday was whispering. Tuesday was Eved Hashem. Tuesday was being Eved Hashem. And yes, there's more of a Shemesh. Okay. Let's go back to Tuesday. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Hashem says, you only have one boss. What do you mean? Try telling that to my boss and, you know, tell the guy who just gave me 16 other assignments that are due by Monday. No, Hashem says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Avadai heim. They're my servants. Asher otzisi osam me'eretz Yitzrayim ani Hashem Elokeichem. And the very next pasuk is, and don't make idols, and don't make a matzeva, and don't bow down on a floor. Who's this talking to? So listen to what Rashi says. Okay? Rashi says, well, it's quoted here, let's see it. I mean, he quotes it from the Medrash, but Rashi got it from the Medrash. Let's read the Rambam. Keneged ze hanimkar legoy hakosav medaber. There could be a situation where a Jew is not sold to a Jew. You can have an Eved Ivri, you have a Jew working for a Jew. Okay, there's halachos, a lot of halachos about that. But there could be a situation where a Jew ends up, what? Being sold to a Gentile. It could happen. So, in such a situation, the pasuk says to him, don't worship Avodah Zarah. I mean, I'm Jewish, why would I worship Avodah Zarah? You know why? Because you're living in a non-Jew's home, and he's worshiping Avodah Zarah. There's a special pasuk, again, I'm waxing poetic a little bit. There's a special pasuk in the Torah that says, by the way, your surroundings are going to have a big hashpa on you. So Hashem says, I want to specifically remind the guy who's working for the non-Jew, be a yid. I'm a yid, what do you mean? No, hold on. When you're in that environment, you need a special reminder. Don't bow down to idols. Let's read it again. Kineged ze hanimkar legoy hakosim medaber. The pasuk is talking to someone who's working, who's sold, literally, as a slave to a non-Jew. Shelo yomar, he shouldn't say to himself, Hoel v'rabi, since my Rebbe, since my master, is Obed Avodah Zarah, Afani Avod Avodah Zarah. So maybe I'll also ask him Avodah Zarah. Hoel v'rabi megala arayos, since my master has sexually immoral behavior, Afani agala arayos, so I'll also be involved in that. Hoel v'rabi mechal Shabbos, since I'm working for a guy who doesn't keep Shabbos, Afani achal Shabbos, so I'll also be mechal Shabbos. Talmud Lomar, says the Pasuk, even when you work for someone else, Hashem says, Avadai him, you're still my Eved. And Chavra, Baruch Hashem, I don't think, I pray, I hope, I think, none of us will ever be sold in a literal sense, God forbid, to a Gentile as a slave. Right? But a little bit, we're all sold as slaves to Western culture, we're sold to the world. And Hashem says, I want to give you a special reminder. In this environment, Talmud Lomar, la lo sasu lachem alilim. Don't make for yourself false gods. Your boss is not your God. I'm your God. Your boss is not your God. I'm your God. Es shabsosai tishmru umikdashi tirao, says the pasuk. Keep Shabbos. Stay connected to Beis Hamikdash. His year akasav ala mitzvos. The pasuk is warning the person who's in an environment where he'd say, it's too hard to keep Shabbos in this environment. It's too hard to maintain my values. That's not true, Hashem says. Even this guy is being told, no, you still have to keep, you can and you should, and you must keep Shabbos. That's the words of the Medrash, Lashon Torah Kohana. Upeirusha, and the explanation is, Shehizkir HaKosav Avodah Zarah, the Shabbos. It specifically mentions, don't do Avodah Zarah, keep the Shabbos. Sheizar Behana Eved HaNimkar Legoy. This person who was sold to a guy has to still be cautious in these things. Umor hamikdash, maintain a connection to Beis Hamikdash. Shayavo sham beragalim v'yira mimenu. make sure you pay your visit to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, again, I don't know what the situation is. Maybe the Gentile master won't let him do that. Maybe he's literally holding him as a slave. But assuming he's an indentured servant who has time off, right? Make sure you tell your master, I have to take time off to go to go. Those are my vacation days. Should I give my rant about Chol HaMoed or no? We've done that enough times. I should do it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to have days off when you have a job. You are not entitled, in my opinion, this is my shita. You know, I don't have a lot of shitas. This is my shita. My shita is, you are not entitled to take off a week to go skiing or to go to the Bahamas or to do whatever else and then to work on Chol HaMoed. I don't think that's the proper alignment of values. The first, my work days, when are my vacation? I have X number of vacation days, right? You have to have your own company and you're able to shut down whenever you want. But if you're working for someone else and you have, you know, X number of days off, right? So don't say, well, I have to work on Chol HaMoed, otherwise I'm going to get, you know, I'll lose my job. And then you go on a cruise in the summer. That's not fair. Why Hashem's days come first? Take your vacation days on Chol HaMoed. Still have a good time with your family. Let those be vacation days. That's what I think. I think that's what Hashem is saying here. Hashem is saying here, you're an eved for someone else. You still have to come to Beis HaMikdash. You still have to come on Shlosh Regalim. Those should be your vacation days. I know you're tired. You want to just like relax on the beach. Okay, but that's not the top priority. The top priority is not to get involved in Avodah Zarah. Shabbos is still Shabbos. Beis HaMikdash is still Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem is reminding a person, yeah, he's in a tough environment. I tell you, there's a lot of Rishon Baruch Hai Torah hinted to Meramis and all of these words. A lot of Ramazans for Rishon Baruch Hai. Because Rishon Baruch Hai comes to the Jew who's in a really tough situation and says, be a Yid. You can still be a Yid. I believe you can still be a Yid. No? Banam atem l'Hashem alokeichem. Chaviv in Yisrael shenikru banam l'makum. Right? Meir of Yekiva, Rishon Baruch Hai, Bar Yochai. I'm still a child by the Rabban Hashalom. Okay, my boss is demanding. I get it. The corporate culture is hard on my Yiddishkeit. That may be true. Right? So work for Hasidim in Lakewood or something, or in Monroe or whatever. You know, find a better work environment. But you don't always have that opportunity. So Hashem sends a stark reminder. You have to still be a Yid. Right? Now you'll tell me, okay, but what about everything else? And here it highlights Shabbos, Avodah Zarah. It says Ramban, V'hu adin l'chol ha-mitzvos. And what this psukim are saying is they're giving us, you know, kind of the fundamentals, reminding us, like, who are we? Aval hiskir eila shehen avos. It mentions the avos, the big principles, l'lamir al-kulan. To hint to all of them. And then the Ramban concludes the piece by saying that perhaps you could even say Shekola mitzvos bichlal haShabbos vaMikdash. Shabbos is an all-encompassing mitzvah. Mikdash is an all-encompassing mitzvah. When you come to Beis HaMikdash, you're surrounded by Beis HaMikdash. And however, every Shabbos, you know where you are? You're enveloped in Shabbos. You're surrounded by Shabbos. Whether you're in shul davening or sitting in the bathroom, you're swimming in Shabbos. Shabbos takes over the world every Shabbos. Right? So that means when I feel surrounded by my workload and I feel surrounded by Western culture and the pressures of the world and there's a lot of, again, outside voices, you have to, this person has to remind himself, Avadai Him, you're still an Eved Hashem. First and foremost, don't forget that for a second. Okay, a very important piece. Again, I know I'm reading a little bit into the Ramban, but it's really what Hashem is saying to us in these psukim. Okay? Yeah?
Do we see on the other side also if we're enslaved to Hashem, then we become like who we're enslaved by.
Right. Right. The more I'm a vatal myself, the more I surrender myself to Hashem, right, it rubs off on you. That's right.
Same way that you'd be rubbed off.
That's right. I always think of Rav Soloveitchik's image of Yom Kippur. Tell me Yom Kippur in three words, Chava. give me three more uplifting words for Yom Kippur. He said, Ashamnu Baganu Gazalnu. Dot, dot, dot. Hashem will Kim, that's nice. You can do better even. Hashem Abab Yushalayim, also nice. I want three words in the Chumash. Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Rav Soloveitchik says, you know what that means? Lifnei Hashem Titaru, before the Lord you shall be cleansed. Soloveitchik says, and it's exactly what Jack is saying, the closer you get to Hashem, the more you're touching Hashem, the more it rubs off on you. So Soloveitchik had this image of like a Jew, you know, picture yourself being like this stained being, you know, with all your aveiros standing before Hashem. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as you lifnei Hashem, as you come in the presence of Hashem, Hashem is like this incredible cleansing, you know, this awesome soap that just like washes over you. Lifnei Hashem titaro is Hashem rubbing his tara over you. It just washes over the person, cleansing the person. But it works on Yom Kippur, you know why? Because we're truly lifnei Hashem. We have incredibly close proximity to Hashem. We're in the presence of Hashem. So when you're in Beis HaMikdash, you feel that and it washes over a person. When a person experiences Shabbos properly, it totally envelops a person. Right? So when you're an Eved Hashem, in the fullest sense, the more you surrender to Hashem, the more it washes over you. Shalom Aleichem. What's your name?
Yehuda.
Hi Yehuda. Welcome. Lifnei Hashem titaro. Should be blessed to be washed by Hashem. We're all trying to get washed by Hashem. Okay. All right, Chaver, let's start with B'chu Kosai. First piece in B'chu Kosai. Yeah. Yeah, but we don't put ourselves in a Nisayon. Sometimes we find ourselves in a Nisayon. We should be thinking about how can I lessen that Nisayon. For sure. There's a greater schar that comes, right? Lefum tzara agra. Pirkei Avos. More struggle, more reward. But I don't need to make more struggle for myself. Right? The Rambam's image of perfect tshuva, right? The Rambam says you're in the same situation, with the same person of your desire, where last time you gave into your taivas, and this time you're in the exact same situation with the same burning desire, and this time you control yourself. So should I put myself in that situation in order to prove that I'm a Baal Tshuva? Don't put yourself into bad situations. Lamaisa, we sometimes find ourselves in tough situations. So Hashem reminds us, by the way, you can still be a Jew in that situation also. It might be hard, but you can do it. You must do it, and you can do it. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'm saying if you live over several places, you not only just run into that problem, but
constantly. No, obviously you have to be sensible, right? Yeah. You don't have to, there's no mitzvah to, you know. But okay. So you get a different job. Of course, you have to be sensible. But Hashem does come first at the end of the day. I'm not judging a person who worked on Shabbos in the 1940s in America. Right? But I'm in awe of the person who was able to get fired from week to week. I'm in awe of such a person. You know this story over here, the story of the guy who... It's a true story. There's a guy who used to get fired, he was literally every Saturday, or Friday, he would leave early, he couldn't, you know. And that was it. He was out of work, week after week. Whenever he would get fired, he would say to his boss, he said, just can I like have an official, you know, on company stationery, like a pink slip, you know, like an official, you're fired. Like, I want it in writing. Okay. So whenever he'd get fired, he'd ask for like an official, like, you know, here's your get. Hey, Gitech, you know. Here, you're officially fired. And he saved them up. He kept them in his desk drawer. He had this desk drawer, and he would literally, like week after week, with Mesiras Nefesh, every week he was looking for a new job. He says, Sukkot came, and he hung them up as decorations in his sukkah here. And he said, his children said, like, what are you saving them for? He's like, you'll see. He said, said, I guarantee these are the most beautiful decorations Hashem ever saw. Skvaldik, no? Say, well, what's a bigger decoration? I'm like, look what I did for you, Hashem. Every week I was willing to give up my job for Shabbos. So again, you have to be sensible, right? You have to be fair. You have to have a business. You don't want to be a chil Hashem also. But we're sometimes a little too quick to think that, like, it's, if we stand for our values, that's a chil Hashem. You have to be. You have to make it up in other ways. So you'll work on, you know, you'll work on Xmas, and you'll work on New Year's, and you'll work on other days to make it up. You're not looking to be a bad employee. I find that the people who are, you know, true to their values, their bosses respect them more. Will there be the occasional anti-Semite who hates you for your Yiddish guy? Yeah. But I think that if a Jew is authentic and honest and real and is committed to his job in a real way, I think in our world today, most people, Baruch Hashem, will be understanding of your need to leave on Friday because you're going to stay late on Tuesday. And you'll ask to help out in other ways, you know? Well, right. We've seen it throughout history. It's the first piece in Likutei Maran also. That when we are self-respecting Jews, then the world respects us. When we think we're gonna, like, you know, finagle and compromise and even sometimes to do it in a way that tries to create more, you know, more camaraderie, it always backfires. Throughout history, it always backfires. We have to just be true to ourselves. Yeah.
It's also, I don't think it's just about that, those moments where you have to say because of this yomtiv or because of shot, like. You have to act a certain way throughout your entire time there.
100%.
I think it's a build-up.
Right,
it's
right.
It's also just part of your mission of why you're there.
Right.
And you're there for a
reason. For sure. It's being that pillar of Elokus every second of every day. Yeah, 1,000,000%. Okay, Chaver, let's do the first little paragraph in Bechukosai. What's the biggest bracha in the world? Biggest bracha in the world. Rain? It's sort of rain. But rain's just a code for what's the biggest bracha in the world. What's the biggest bracha in the world? To be a ben melech?
What do you mean when you're saying bracha?
Be very simple. What's the biggest bracha in the world?
Torah. Relaxation.
What's the best?
Shalom.
How are we defining bracha here?
Give me a scenario where a person who has a lot of money, his life is not going to be with bracha because he doesn't have shalom. His health. Being alive. I always come back to something I heard years ago from someone. He said, when you look in the Navi Zechariah, the picture of Mashiach is so regular. It's just like a description of, like, life being nice and healthy and normal. And he said, right, because when you don't have your health, when, like, things are chaotic, when they're shooting rockets at nice Jewish communities, when the world is crazy and you can't just be, you can't just exist, you can't take a breath of air and just feel good. Everyone knows the feeling, like, when you're sick in bed for a week with the flu, you know, and then, like, that first day of feeling good again, it's like the... And it's just regular, like you're just feeling regular, but regular is a big bracha. So says the Ramban, V'nasati gishmeichem bi'itam. In Bechukosai teilechu, Parshas Bechukosai begins, if you walk in the ways of Hashem, if you're a good Erlich Yid, Hashem says, I'll make it rain in the proper time. Okay, I mean, that's kind of regular stuff. Says the Ramban, Hiktim dabar ha-gesham, ki v'vo'em bi'itam kasher ye'us. The bracha is described here, start with proper rain. Because when rain comes in a time that's ideal, when rain falls in the right time, yeh avir zach v'tov, the air is good, the temperatures are good, v'mayanos v'naharos tovim, and the rivers are flowing properly, the water supply is good, v'yez asivas brios legufim, and when the air is clean, and the water cycle is fresh. The body feels healthy. And the fruits and vegetables are able to grow and to be blessed. When the world just looks like the way it's supposed to look, when it's not broken. If you're a good Ben Torah, if you keep Torah and Mitzvah, Hashem says, I'll make the world regular. So you'll say, that's the whole reward? But look what the Ramban writes. V'hinei imze lo yechla adam. But when the world is regular, people aren't sick. When the air is clean and not polluted, and the water is pure, and the fruits and vegetables are good, and the body feels healthy, and a person doesn't feel sick. V'lo yeh bahem misachela v'akara uvehemtam. And you don't have any miscarriages, and you don't have animals dying, or you don't have women who are barren. When life is just normal. You know what a crazy miracle it is when a baby is born? But it's like regular. It's ma'isim b'chol yom. Many times. Many, 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 many times a day. Right? So when women are able to give birth, and your body feels normal, you can go to the bathroom, and you can ingest your food, and the air is clear, and the water supply is abundant. V'yimlu'u yimeihem. Right? And the water supply is full. When all of those things are happening, when the body is able to be the way the body is supposed to be, when life is functioning the way it's supposed to be, hinehi gedola sheva brachos. Have I underline those four words? That's the biggest bracha in the world. That's the biggest bracha in the world. And the Ramban goes on to say, obviously, that's not everything, but just realize that when we are true to ourselves, again, Torah and mitzvos in b'chukosai teilechu. If we follow Torah and mitzvos, if we learn Torah, melim b'Torah, like Rashi said, like we spoke about yesterday, right? When we prioritize our life in the right way, and we're going in the way of Torah, b'chukosai teilechu, mitzvosai tishmeru, right? Hashem says, I'll give you rain, the air will be clear, the water will be good, your body will feel healthy, and you'll have a very, very wonderful life. A very wonderful life. Forget olam haba, forget schar, forget like... Just, Hashem says, when you treat the world properly, by living the proper life of Torah and mitzvos, the world will be beautiful, life will feel good, and that's the biggest bracha. Because when you're sick in bed, right, and you can't function, and the world is you know, crumbling, that's the worst. All you want to do is just feel normal. You just want to feel healthy. That's the biggest bracha of all. Very powerful line. That's the gedolish of a brachos, the Ramban says. Extremely powerful line. Okay? But let's go one step further. Because part of the bracha continues in Pasuk Vav, V'yishbati chaya ra min ha'aretz. One of the things Hashem says, in addition to causing the produce to grow, Hashem says, I'll make peace in the world, I'll make peace in the land, nasati shalom ba'aretz. You'll be able to sleep at night without being afraid. That's a big bracha. V'shchavtem ve'in macharid. You don't have to be nervous about running to a bomb shelter, because... You know, because Rasham are shooting rockets into your home. V'yishbati chaya ra min ha'aretz. And the pasuk says, I'll remove wild animals from the land. So, there's always a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about how magical the Torah is. Rabbi Yehuda always explains things in a rational way. Rabbi Shimon, who of course is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is able to see things in a much more magical and mystical way. So, v'yishbati chaya ra min ha'aretz. You see it? You see the paragraph? The Ramban? Pasuk Vav, Vishbati Chaya Ra Min Ha'aretz. Says the Ramban, Al Das Rabbi Yehuda She'amar Ma'aviron Min Ha'olam Hu Kepshuto. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that what? Who explains, what does it mean that animals will be removed from the world? It means they'll be removed from your world. What does that mean? Kepshuto. Shelo Yavo Chayos Ros Partzam. However, we know, naturally speaking, that when land is left unsettled, yeah, when people are not around, the wildlife takes over. The wildlife takes over. Right? I remember once visiting my summer camp, like during the year or something, right? And it's like a different thing. There's like animals everywhere. When it's full of people, you know, so the animals go into hiding. Right? But when people disappear, it's funny, I was thinking this week, I said to a squirrel this week, like we finally got the upper hand again. Like during Corona, the squirrels, I felt like, took over Burgenfield, you know? Like they lost their pachad completely. Like I would go to take out my garbage, the squirrel would just be like sitting on top of the garbage can like, can you move so I can throw out my garbage? They got super comfortable. So now I feel like when I open my front door, the squirrels like jump again. Like, you know, like finally we're back. What? Yeah, they really, like a different brio. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the bracha here? The bracha is, you'll be settled in the land, you'll be able to live normally, and the animals will leave you alone. Right? In other words, I won't kick you out of the land. If I kick you out of the land, I'll kick you out of Eretz Yisrael, the animals are going to take over. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll remove the wild animals. Ki biyos ha-sova u-b-ribos ha-tova v'yos ha-arim m'leos adam. Right? When there's an abundance of success and the people are, the cities are thriving, lo savona chayos b'yishuv. Right? You don't typically find a deer running through Midtown Manhattan. Right? Hang out in more desolate areas. What about Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says that's not what it means, the wild animals will be removed. It means that the wildkeit, the wildness, will be removed from the animals. Well, what does that mean? Valdas Rabbi Shimon, Shalmar Mashbisan Shalo Yaziku. Not that they'll be physically held back, that they won't be around, right? But that they'll be removed from damaging. Yomar Vishbati Ra'as Hachayos Minarets. The wildness, the danger of the wild animals will be removed from them. V'hu Nachon, of course, the Ramban, being a big Mekubal, says, and that's really the deeper pshat. Ki tiyah Eretz Yisrael be'eskiyam ha-mitzvos. When Eretz Yisrael is a place that what? Is run by Torah and mitzvos. Kasher haya ola mitchilaso kodem cheto sh'adam harishon. When the world is a proper God-fearing world where everything is done kedas v'kedin al-pi Torah, in accordance with Ratzon Hashem. Ein chaya v'remes meimis adam. No person can be attacked by a wild animal. You know why? Because animals won't act wild. They'll be mevatel themselves to you, the same way you're mevatel yourself to Hashem. Like the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel, Ein arod meimis, ela hachet meimis. One of my favorite Gemaras. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Remember the story? We've spoken about it. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was summoned to a particular town because there was an arod, some type of crazy snake, yeah. Picture some like huge cobra that was terrorizing the town, poisoning people, biting people, killing people. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was known as a very, very big tzaddik, was invited to deal with the problem. He said, show me where the arod lives. Show me its lair. Show me its hole in the ground. Okay, so everyone was scared to go anywhere near it, but Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa wasn't afraid. He walked over to the place where the arod, little cave was, the hole, and he stuck his heel right on top of the spot. They said, you're crazy. It's going to come up and it's going to bite you. You're going to be poisoned. Said, don't worry. The arod came forward, right? Saw something, juicy piece of meat to bite into. It came up and tried to bite the poison. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. The snake attacked him and the snake died. Dropped dead. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa plucked the thing out of the hole, put it over his shoulder, like a prize fighter's belt. Yeah, championship belt. He comes to the base medrash. He walks in carrying the arod. Right? Picture an alligator, a crocodile. Right? He walks in carrying this huge thing. So they're like, whoa, how did that, what did you do? He said, you think a poisonous snake has the upper hand over a person? He said, it's not the poison of the snake that kills, it's our aveiros that kill. This animal can't hurt you if you're a sincere Eved Hashem. It's your aveiros that make you susceptible to be harmed by the world. Ain a road mamis. It's not the arod that kills, ela achet mamis. It's our aveiros that cause. We believe in schar v'onesh. We believe in accountability. I don't know exactly how that Hashem keeps score and how it works. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza says the more innocent you are in terms of schar and onesh, then the safer you'll be. So, Ishbati chaya ram in aretz is a promise that Hashem makes that what? That we can again. This is a parsha of trying to get back to the way things were. Shemitah, Yovel, we're trying to get back to what? To Shem resting by creation. We're trying to make it towards Geula in the sense of what? Yom Shekulo Shabbos. We're trying to get back to Gan Eden, a time where there was what? Where there's a model of a person prior to ever doing an Avera. And when we live that way, everything is just good. Everything is just good. He writes, V'zesha Amar HaKasav. Vishi Asha Yonek Alchur Pasen. A child will play at the entrance of a poisonous snake. If a kid's found sitting by the opening where where a poisonous cobra lives, the parent would grab it and get away from there. It's a dangerous spot. A child will sit and play with the snakes. Lasilavo. Ufara Vadov Tirana Va'arye Kabakar Yochal Tevin. A lion will stop eating meat, the lion will go back to grazing on grass. A lion will lose its wildness. Amazing psukim in Yeshaya describing the future. Right? The wolf and the lamb will sit side by side. The kid will play with a poisonous snake and have nothing to fear. Kilohusam hateref. Look at these words. Kilohusam hateref b'chayos haraos. The only reason teref, the only reason that animals become animals of teref, they have a desire to prey. The only reason animals are chayos haraos, are wild animals, rak b'pnei cheto shel adam. It's only because Hashem uses them to send retribution to the world. But if we act, if we have our own inner harmony, the animals also have their own inner harmony. We're in charge of, we set the tone for the whole world. When we live properly, then that's the way it is. That's the way it used to be. An amazing thing. And he writes a couple lines later, he says, Eretz Yisrael is a place of shleimus. That's why here it's of course describing specifically the ability to remain in Eretz Yisrael. For Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael has the greatest opportunity to function properly with the greatest of ease, because it's a place that, again, is most responsive to Torah mitzvahs. Okay, Chava, let's do one final Ramban for today. It's a good place for us to wrap up. Okay, let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. The paragraph that begins, Ukvar Be'arnu. I assume it's a separate paragraph.
Ukvar Be'arnu. It is a separate paragraph, it looks like. Yeah.
So plumb it off in the middle of the right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're reading these psukim, and we're learning that if you're a good Jew, then the world's going to behave properly. So says the Ramban, let me just point out that like when that happens, there's something very miraculous. When it rains because you learn Torah, that's a miracle. Right? Why should you, sitting in the Beis Medrash, learning a daf of Bab Metzia, help a person who is sick have a refuah shleimah? What does one have to do with the other? Why should you keeping Shabbos help someone on the other side of the world, I don't know, have parnasa? That's miraculous. There's no kasher between them. B'derech HaTeva, there's nothing that says that doing a mitzvah should lead to someone's prosperity, financial success. What's the connection? The Ramban says, you have to realize there's something miraculous that's going on here in this parsha. Even though we're being promised very regular things, we're being promised regular things as a response for what? You shake a lulav, you wave a palm branch at a particular date, at a particular time, in a particular way, and all of a sudden now you bring bracha to the world? That's a crazy thing. What's the connection between holding a palm branch and bringing blessing to the world? That's not a natural thing at all. So says the Ramban, let's read these words, we'll end with this. Kvar be'arnu, ki kol eila habrachos kulam nisim. Let's realize that when we, I don't know, do a mitzvah, and the response is, what? Proper rain. That's a miracle. All of these brachos are wondrous things. Ein b'teva shiavo ha-geshamim via shalom lanu min ha-oivim. It doesn't make sense that there should be rain, or that enemies shouldn't attack us. V'yavo morach b'libam lanus meyam epnei chamisha, or that five Jews will be able to chase off 100 who are trying to harm us. Basosenu hachukim v'amitzos. It doesn't really make sense that, you know, we should win a battle because we learned the tosos. I mentioned to a couple of people yesterday, what does it say? It's a famous line, and the Mesechus Brachos, other Mesechtos, Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Right? Talmidei Chachamim increase peace in the world. So the Chassam Sofer in Adrasha says, why? Why is that so? If anything, real Talmidei Chacham seem to always be fighting about stuff. You ever see real Milchamta Shel Torah? You ever see real Milchamta Shel Torah? You ever see two rabbis really fighting over Torah? You ever see that? I don't see it enough because we're too passive in our learning. I'll never forget Shana Aleph. I'll never remember the Israeli Kol guy who I thought was about to murder his chavrusa. You should have seen this guy screaming about a pshat on the Rambam. Screaming like bloody murder, you know? Screaming, you're wrong. Mamash is like a battlefield. So how do Talmidei Chachamim, how are they marbim shalom ba'olam? You know what the Chassam Sofer says? Chassam Sofer says, Chazal are saying, because when there's fighting in a proper way, fighting in the Beis Medrash, fighting over Torah, that decreases, there's X amount of war that needs to happen in the world. It can happen in the Beis Medrash or it can happen on a battlefield. So Chassam Sofer says, so when a Talmid Chacham fights over Torah, Macham Teshul Torah, So that makes shalom in the world. It makes less fighting on the battlefield. So Ramban says, that's a crazy thing. That's a miracle. That's a wild idea. Why should it be that you keep mitzvos, and there's rain, and there's peace in the world? What does that have to do with anything? What does keeping Shemitah have to do? Why does, because you let the land rest, so therefore all these things happen? The opposite. By not working your field, you're going to starve. And Hashem makes it the exact opposite. No, by trusting me, I'm going to give you an abundance of produce. And even though these things are very much hidden, because we don't know what brought that rain, we don't know that brought that peace, and we don't know that brought that success, we don't see the cause and effect, we don't fully understand how you said Amen Yeheshmei Rabba with Kavana, and that caused someone in the hospital to recover from a terrible illness. We can't draw the lines. So in some ways it's all a secret, because the world seems to operate, you know, karagil. Avalheim Misparsimim mitzad hayosim tamid la'olam b'chol ha'aretz. But if you're paying attention, right, there is a degree of piercing. And if you're keeping score, you do recognize the trend. And you can recognize it in your personal life, and you can recognize it taking place in the world. Ki matzadek echad yichya, v'yasir Hashem machala mikirbo, v'yamale yamov, yikra gamze b'ksas v'sham. When it happens on a global scale, you have to start saying, hold on, something's happening. Because when a tzaddik has a long life, or a tzaddik is prevented from a machala, from an illness coming in his midst. So you're not going to appreciate that, because you're going to say, well, there's also a Russia who had success. You're not going to understand how Hashem is keeping score. Aval shetiyeh be'eretz achas kula. But our people are describing a reality where what? Where a whole place, in b'chukosai teilecho, you're going to see, this place is going to be like a different type of reality. And you're going to have to say, I guess mitzvahs actually work. One-on-one, it's hard to keep score. It's hard to know who's a tzaddik, who's a rasha, why is this guy prospering, why is this person such a good guy, why did he die so young, and how did this person become sick, and how could this be? And it's very hard to... But if we could create a society, says the Ramban, and that's what's being described here, if we could create a place, right? Imagine a land where everyone doesn't work for a whole year, and it actually works, and it's better, Shemitah, and somehow there's better success, right? That's a wild idea. So when you have an Aretz Achas Kula, Am Echad Tamid Birchas Hageshem Beito, that somehow always gets the rain at the right time, so what's their secret, right? What's their secret? Some anti-Semite would probably say, oh, the Jews even control the weather. He's right. We do control the weather. We do control the weather. If we keep Torah and mitzvahs, v'nasati gishmeichem b'itam, we do control the weather cycles. It's all true. Yeah? How could that be? Sova, there's abundance, v'shalva, and there's peace, ubrios, and they're healthy, ugvura. Read the Midrashim in Eicha about Yerushalayim in the best of eras, before the Chorban, when everything was still proper in Yerushalayim. People were like superhuman there. In body and in spirit and in mind. They were brilliant people. Their bodies were incredibly strong. It was like what's in the water here? What are you people drinking? In Mayim El Torah, they were living a Torah existence. V'shivron ha'oivim, and there's a security, there's a protection. Be'inyan she'ein kamo b'chol ha'olam. Says Ramban, it's a hard thing to explain, but that's what it is. That's what it is. And just jumping to the paragraph that says Va'klau, we'll end with two more lines. Va'klau. You see it? Is that a separate paragraph? Va'klau?
Yeah.
Va'klau. Ki biyos Yisrael shleimim. V'heim rabim. Lo yisnaig in yonim b'teva klau. Look what he writes here. It's beautiful. He says, the bottom line is, here's the klau. When the Jewish people are shleimim. Ki biyos Yisrael shleimim. When we're shalim in our kiyam atara mitzvos. When we're wholesome, sincere Jews. Right? V'heim rabim. When we do it right, and we do it right, but Sibor, nothing can stop us. We're lamalim in atava. Lo begufam, lo ba'artzam, lo bechlalam, v'lo biyachid mehem, ki yivarech Hashem lachmam umeimam v'yasir machalam mikirbam. The food will be good, the drink will be good, the bodies will be healthy. At shalo yitzdarchu lerofei. To the point that the notion of a doctor will be a foreign concept. V'loli shtamer b'derach midarchei arfus klal. And you won't need to even be thinking about, you know, these types of things. And he goes on, the Ramban goes on, we're not going to read it inside now, explaining that the whole heter for a doctor to heal is only when we choose to turn to doctors. But we're forced to turn to doctors only because we've made ourselves sick. Why have we made ourselves sick? Because we've been eating food that's not healthy? Well, how did our food become unhealthy? Right. The answer is because we're not being the Jews we're supposed to be. If we're shalim in our connection to Torah, if we do what we're supposed to do, again, that's mitzvosai tishmeru v'asisam osam, then just keep reading. The rain, the bodies will be strong, the enemies will be weak, the produce will be abundant, and the notion of going to a doctor, as Chazal say, the doctor has permission to heal if he's approached. But halavai, we should never need to approach the doctor. Right? He says, halavai, b'rtzos Hashem darchei ish ein lo esek v'rofim. You would never even need the concept of a hospital or a doctor would be totally foreign to us. Okay, so it's a powerful Ramban for us to, I guess, you know, to end the Zman on. Right, to try to be, you know, wholesome Jews. Eved Hashem. Avadayim. Not to be a slave to someone else, to be an Eved Hashem and to have all the brachas in the world. Okay, Mish Bizocha. No? A nigga? Ay, 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 ay